This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez and Tan Chung Han with the top business stories of the day. The World Capital Markets Symposium held yesterday, many of us were there, and the Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Najib Razak, announced a trading link. He said it would be set up between Malaysia and Singapore. And this was announced yesterday at the said symposium organized by the Securities Commission Malaysia.
After discussions between Prime Minister Lee of Singapore and myself, I am glad to say that we have agreed that both markets have reached a sufficient level of sophistication and degree of maturity for us to establish a market corridor connecting Malaysia and Singapore with a trading link between our respective exchanges to spur further mutual benefits and harness the economic potential of our two nations.
That was the Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Najib Razak. Okay, so this Singapore-Malaysia Connect, this is going to give investors access to over 1,600 public listed companies with a combined market capitalization of $1.2 trillion.
Although I think that, you know, given the market activity over the last couple of days, the market cap has come up.
Probably come up a little bit, right?
Maybe.
Now, but the overall goal really, I mean, let's look at the aims of this. It's to lower trading costs, to encourage, obviously, more cross-border investments. And I think for both markets, which is very important, and boost liquidity. Mm. Now, the hope is the exchange will come to fruition by the end of the year. And currently, the regulatory framework is being worked on by the Monetary Authority of Singapore and also Securities Commission Malaysia.
Yeah, you know, so when this was announced yesterday and I was at the World Capital Markets Symposium, it automatically my mind raised to questions, well, is this the first trading link? You know, because I somewhat recall this previous trading link, the ASEAN trading link. You know, now, this was an exchange linked, meant to connect all the markets or seven markets in ASEAN, but it ended up just connecting Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand. It began in 2012 and was quietly killed off last October. Quietly was the word used by the Bloomberg report, you know, in their headline there. So, you know, I asked the chairman of SC Malaysia, you know, Tan Sri Dato' Sri Ranjit Ajit Singh, how will this new trading link, this Malaysia-Singapore connect, you know, how will it be different from the ASEAN trading link, the one that was killed off just this past October? And here's what he had to say.
We've clearly seen some of the weaknesses associated with that particular trading link, the difficult structure, the cost associated with that, and there were some very important lessons that bring to bear, as well as the need to be able to also address the post-trade settlement issues. And so we will reflect that. I think there's a commitment towards ASEAN connectivity, but given the fact that within the region, these are the two markets that can create a more enhanced and better version.
That was the chairman of the Securities Commission Malaysia, Tan Sri Ranjit Ajit Singh. BFM also spoke to Bursa Malaysia CEO, Dato' Sri Tajuddin Adnan, about why the ASEAN trading link was terminated. This is his take.
The link was part of the ASEAN collaboration. The ASEAN collaboration here covers marketing, promotion, creating of common products and services over a period of time. Link was, we thought that was the easier one, we thought. But there is already an existing connectivity through Interbro and DME. So the link was meant for the smaller guys. Those guys are not interested. After 3-4 years, we said, we cut it off.
That was Bursa Malaysia CEO, Dato' Sri Tajuddin Adnan. Yeah, so it's interesting to see their differing views on how effective this is really going to be, because stockbroking firms have had their own links to counterparties even way before the ASEAN trading link was mooted. Mm-hmm. So how much would it really add to cross-border trade? Even Dato' Sri Nazir Razak, CIMB chairman, said that benefits would be rather limited. Now, Edge Financial Daily also spoke to head of research at Inter-Pacific Securities, Pong Teng Siu, and he says that basically the Malaysian stock market is going to be kind of a tough sell for Singapore investors. A lot of them think about CLOB. For many, many years ago, if CLOB is the central limit order book.
Yeah, CLOB was banned in Malaysia or by Malaysia back in 1998. Malaysia said it was an illegal exchange. I'm just learning about this for the first time because I'm not that. As I lived through that.
You read history, thank you very much. So, okay, well, so Club comes out of the Asian financial crisis,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay, so you know, this was the secondary market over there in Singapore, which traded Malaysian shares mainly. So you got the Inter-Pacific Securities Head of Research there pointing to that, saying that, look, that was a bad experience for many Singaporean traders. You know, they were stuck with Malaysian shares when Club closed down and they had to sell them at a discount. So, you know, Singaporean investors, the older ones, those who got burned by Club, they may not be so keen on Malaysian markets.
I think, Han, I think you've made a good point there about the older ones not being keen. Remember, that was quite a long time ago, and perhaps young investors who are in their 30s and younger don't have any bad memories of the Club deal.
Yeah.
And perhaps that is the market that they should be tackling.
Right. So, you know, he says that this is good, but not enough. The Edge Financial Daily also spoke to Erica Capital CEO Danny Wong. You know, he actually is looking for a revival of sorts for the ASEAN trading link. You know, he wants this Malaysia-Singapore Connect to be the catalyst for then similar links to tie up, you know, with other ASEAN economies, although we know what happened with the former ASEAN trading link.
Okay, there are quite a few other measures that were announced yesterday aimed at boosting retail participation stocks. It'll be slightly cheaper for people to invest in small and mid-cap stocks here in Malaysia. The Prime Minister announced that stamp duties on small and mid-cap stocks will be waived for 3 years starting in March.
Yeah, and so again, look, we have to ask a question, right? Now, how much will this actually boost retail participation? Because stamp duties right now, ₱1 for every 1,000 ringgit contract, right? And it's capped at 200 ringgit. So, you know, that implies that you're doing a 200,000 ringgit contract, yeah? So I guess unless you're sitting in front of your computer, you know, or trading frequently on your phone or large volumes, which I assume most retail investors are not, you know, how far or how much of an impact will this have, this removal of stamp duties, again, specifically on small and mid-cap stocks?
Yeah, so there are also other rules that are very interesting. So which margin financing rules have been liberalized. I think that's going to have an impact. Intraday short selling is also going to be allowed to all investors. Previously, it was kept out for retail investors. So that's potentially going to be a catalyst to boost interest. But we've got to ask ourselves the question, are retail investors sophisticated enough to take advantage of these new tools?
Right, you know, and do they have the kind of risk appetite? You know, and do regulators even want to invite that kind of speculative element into the market, you know, especially with the intraday short selling? Now, I guess to be fair, which is what we do here in the morning, right? To be fair, look, I get it, right? You know, policymakers, they're obviously trying to facilitate more retail participation, boost liquidity, and these are really targeted policies. Now, I guess what we're trying to do here is perhaps see the risks that could be associated with these policies, you know, noble intentions, you know, sure. You know, on top of that, there are also going to be like an incentive program for volumes trade, you know, is to boost the volumes, right? Trading and clearing fees, specifically trading and clearing fees, they'll be waived as well for new investors for 6 months, starting when, not sure yet.
Yeah, there's also plenty of education that really needs to be done in the local marketplace. Because if you recall, when we talked about Club, during that period of time, for example, there was a lot of retail participation, especially the old aunties and uncles who used to hang out in the stockbroking houses. Yeah. Retail participation now has dropped to only 23%. Bursa has been trying to raise that has a target to raise that to 25%. So hopefully people will kind of think of stocks more than just the traditional assets that we look at in terms of property, you know, which is basically...
Or FDs,
exactly.
Yeah, whatever is better than those get-rich-quick schemes.
Well, better than putting it under your mattress or stuffing it in your mattress.
Is that what you do, Sharad?
No, I don't, actually. Okay, now, what the reports are saying that while intraday short selling is now being made available to all investors, not just the big guns, the number of stocks that can be short sold still remains limited. Is that correct?
Yeah, it appears that way. Again, so this measure is aimed at making intraday short selling available for all investors. Okay, intraday, that means you've got to close it out within a day. But on the other side, A security that qualifies for short selling, you know, has to follow some criteria. Okay, for example, you got to have an average daily market cap exceeding 500 million ringgit for the preceding 3 months. There must be at least 50 million shares in public float, and the average monthly traded volume must exceed 1 million units.
Now, so that's interesting, because what that precludes, they're preventing small cap stocks from being moved, and obviously putting that speculative, taking that speculative element out of it.
And also you need the kind of liquidity to even short sell, right?
Absolutely.
If it doesn't move, you know, then there's no shorting.
Yeah. Okay. We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with the Breakfast Grill. Our guest this morning, Dr. Amrita Malhi, visiting fellow at the Department of Political and Social Change at the Australian National University's College of Asia and the Pacific. Also Ken Wong, contributing editor with A New Mandela. Remember, we're talking about the upcoming general election, GE14. It's around the corner. There are many issues. Tell us what you want to hear most. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. I'll repeat the number, 018-789-8899. Include your name. Also, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Be part of the conversation. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.